You are listening to the Life Church Podcast. To learn more about Life Church, our gathering times at any of our central Indiana locations, or our Life Crew online, visit us at lifechurchin.com or follow the link in the description. Today's talk is from Pastor Nathan Peternell.
Hey, we're going to be talking for the next, today and 4 weeks that follow, we're going to be talking about some issues of mental health that are affecting us. Just so you know, the mental health problem is not a new problem. It goes back generations upon millennia, because Freud did not come up with psychology. Right? This is not a brand new science. This has actually been talked about for a long, long, long time. And we're going to be talking about the soul today. And you said, well, that makes sense, because churches kind of, they have, you know, they're supposed to be able to talk to the soul. You are made up of three parts. You're made up of first your body, and then your soul and your spirit. Three parts. But when we determine what the soul is, we define that as your mind, your will, and your emotions. And do you know who was talking about the mind heavily 2,000 years ago, way before Freud, who, by the way, messed up guy? But Paul the Apostle was talking a lot about this problem of the mind, anxiety that affects you. And so as we dive into this today, we're going to look at what Paul said about this. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, he wrote quite a few things dealing with your mind, your will, and your emotion. How many have ever gotten news, just news, and it made you physically ill? Have you ever experienced that? Why is it that something that our mind digests can make us sick in our stomach? This literally happened to my wife and I yesterday. As we were listening to something that was told us, just this disgusting feeling in the pit of our stomachs began to develop. And then, I don't know if you're like this, I imagine we're all like this, your mind starts to take off with a million different thoughts as a result of one thought that you just came into contact with. Now, I'm an optimist. How many optimists do we have in this place? Well, let's do it in a different way. Just a point at your spouse or your friend around you. I'll just ask you a question. Okay, a cluttered kitchen makes this person very unhappy. Go ahead. Okay, all right. A dirty car makes this person very unhappy. Okay, all right. When this person receives one bit of news, their mind takes off in 1,000 directions, okay? It's funny, this isn't even a spouse pointing at their spouse. This is actually, people are doing this morning. I saw that. Right? Now, go get marriage counseling that you'll probably need as you discuss. I can't believe you pointed that out about me today. What do you think people think about that? We're going to talk about that. Do you know that the human mind thinks 80,000 thoughts a day? 80,000 thoughts. And I think women actually might think more than that. Because my wife, we talk about what it's like in her mind. She'll say, how do you see that? I'll explain it. And she goes, this is what I think. And I'm exhausted just listening to what she thinks. Because it's like, you know, I don't know if you've heard this analogy before, but people say that women's brains are like a computer that has 400 windows all open at the same time. They actually wrote a book about this, and how many know that they liken a woman's mind to spaghetti? All spaghetti noodles touch each other. And men's minds are like waffles. We have these great compartments. I don't know about you, but I like to pour just the syrup into each compartment without overflowing it to where it all touches. We are made very differently. And I just think 80,000 thoughts. Are you kidding me? And do you know that 80% of the 80,000 thoughts are negative? Most of our battles that we wrestle with on a day-to-day basis are won or they are lost in our minds. And if we have healthy roots, we'll have healthy fruit, but it can work the other way around too. And Paul the Apostle probably talks about the mind more than anyone else in the Scripture. So we're gonna not sit on the couch of Freud today. We're going to sit on the couch of Paul the Apostle. And we're going to let Dr. Paul speak to us. And we're going to start right here for this series, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power." Everybody say power.
Power.
Come on, say it like you mean it.
Power.
Power. It says they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments, the mind. Every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The battlefield is in the mind. It says we have power. Now, this word power is the word dunamis in the Greek. It means explosive power, and it's from this very word we get the concept of dynamite. Blow it up. Bunker buster is what we're talking about here. And then it says power over what? To demolish. Man, I love these kind of words. These are my action. I like action words. I like aggressive words. To demolish strongholds. Now, strongholds is this idea of a compound. When I think of a compound, my mind just goes to where Osama bin Laden thought he could hide. And then he met some power that came to demolish him, named the Navy SEALs. Right? I love it. If the enemy thinks he can hide in strongholds, Paul is making sure by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we understand that there is a power that demolishes those strongholds. Where the enemy may think that he's untouchable, but he's not untouchable because we have to go to that stronghold and we have to use the bunker-busting power of the Holy Spirit to annihilate that thing. We need some thoughts to be carried captive. I love that. We're carrying every thought captive to Christ, to the obedience of Christ. The enemy is going to come and speak to you. That compound, he's going to try and set it up, and he's going to try to mock you and tell you there's never going to be a breakthrough in this area. And you have to find some power. The power will not come from you, but it will be wielded by you. The power is of the Lord. And you need to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. In psychology today, they call this cognitive behaviorists. And they admit that there are thoughts that have to be addressed if you're going to get freedom. Now, if you've never taken freedom before, I would encourage you to make sure that you get into a freedom group, because we address the thoughts that have held you bound for a long time, and we want you to be free. But it will come because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In fact, when you go home today, I hope that you'll do this one thing. Man, they really bathed us in a lot of the Word of God. I think just sitting underneath the Word of God flowing out over top of you has the power to begin to shake you free of the bondages of the enemy. We have addictions in our life. And the enemy tells us, you haven't beat that yet, and you're never gonna beat it. It has you bound and you'll never be free. And we have fears that come up into our minds. And our minds take off on one fear after another, one thought after another. And it seems that it just multiplies in its effect and power. And the Bible says that we have to carry these thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. We have to tell these thoughts where they're going to go. I don't normally say go to hell, because I've told people that's just not something that should come out of a Christian's mouth, unless you're talking about these kind of thoughts. Then you can tell those thoughts, go to hell, because that's where you came from, and I'm sending you back. I'm not going to let you set this up in my mind. The Bible talks about the thoughts going into play. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Here's Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, and he writes this: "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Your life follows your mind. And our life moves in the direction of our strongest thought. If you let that thought hold, if you give it room, stuff is going to happen around that thought. And we tend to tell ourselves negative things. How about maybe this has been you before? I'm never going to get that promotion. I'm never going to get that job. I'm always going to be looked over. I can't succeed because fill in the blank. I'll never find somebody. I'll never have that relationship I see happy couples have. That's not for me. I'll never have that. I'll never get pregnant. I'll never be able to do this or that. I'll never graduate. I'll never be able to take care of my finances. I'll always be under the weight. I'll never get healed. I'll never get in shape. I'll never be able to overcome, fill in the blank. And, you know, Henry Ford, he had an interesting quote, and I like it. He said, "Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right." Ouch. So let's talk about how to overcome these strongholds. And they call it today cognitive behavioral therapy. This is CBT, not CBD, right? CBT. And cognitive behavioral therapy is actually these three concepts that come into mind. First, you have to inspect your thoughts. They have a word for this. It's called metacognition. And you need to inspect your thoughts. You need to think about what you think about. What do you think about? What do you watch? What do you listen to? What do you take in? Because that has a massive effect on you. Do you know that we could up our peace if we just turned off the secular music that's being played all around us and just played some music that was God-honoring? You could really affect your spirit just by doing that. If you watch the news, and all the news is bad news all the time. Do you know it is not wrong as a Christian to turn the news off? Now, I watch the news every day, but I choose what news I listen to. I choose what I'm going to allow to feed my spirit. There are some news networks that I have no doubt why people want to kill themselves. I'd want to kill myself if I listened to that news source. Because there's nothing but bad news and wickedness coming across that. I'm just going to say, I watch Newsmax. I like it very much. But what are you thinking about? I had this lady call me in my first year when I came to Life Church. And she was from the West Side. I might have told this story before. I never know which service I told it in. So if I told it to you before, you're going to hear it again. I had this lady call the church office, and me and a pastor friend, Pastor Josh, who was an associate pastor with me at the Fishers campus when it was just the Fishers campus, this lady called and she said, "Hey, I have I have demons in my house. And she said, I would like somebody to come get rid of them. And so I get this call from the office, and I looked at Pastor Josh, and I said, hey, we should go do that. And he goes, how about we don't do that? And I said, come on, man. We got a Ghostbuster call. Who are you going to call? And so I said, I just think that, hey, this call could have gone to any church. It came to our church, and you're with me right now. They sent him out two by two. Come on, Josh, let's go. And so he is not happy with me. So anyway, we're driving over to that side of town, and he looks at me and goes, what are you going to do? And I go, I don't know. He goes, this is not a plan. And I said, it's going to be okay. Let's go. And so we get there, and we meet this lady, and she's at Burger King. She won't even go. She's not even waiting in her own house. She has vacated her property, and she's at Burger King. So we sit down, and she tells me about what's happening. She says, I've got this moving around. I've got that moving around. I've got things that levitate. I've got lights that blink on and off. I hear voices. I'm like, okay. I said, let's go. And Josh kind of looks at me. And she says, aren't you afraid? And I don't know what came over me, but this is honest to God, this happened. I go, no, ma'am, they're afraid of me. And Josh said, in his heart, he felt like, yeah! So we go over there. We walk through the house. Nothing's levitating. No, I don't hear any voices. I walk through the house. I'm just kind of praying over the house. I'm casting out whatever spirit might be in the house. But then I look at her coffee table, and all over her coffee table are horror movies. So I gather up the horror movies. I walk out, and I go, I think you'll be fine. But you got to deal with this. And I said, ma'am, is this what you take in all the time? She goes, I watch that. I said, this could be your problem. And I said, I would get rid of this, and I'd get Jesus in my heart. She ended up giving her life to the Lord. She got rid of her movies. She never called us back to ever come again. I tell you that story because you have to inspect your thoughts. You got to think about what you're thinking about. You can't conquer what you don't call out. You can't conquer what you don't call out. Do you know that there's a story in the Bible about Joshua? It's actually his second battle since he has taken over the leadership of all of Israel. It's found in Joshua chapter 7. And many of you will remember the story of the great walls of Jericho falling down when the children of Israel obeyed, walked around it, and they did what they were supposed to. There were 10 cities that the children of Israel were going to conquer when they went into the promised land. And the first city was Jericho. It was the greatest of all the cities, had the greatest walls, the greatest defenses, and God said to them, the first city that you conquer, everything that's in it belongs to me. It all belongs to me. Every piece of gold or silver, any valuable possession, it's all to be brought into the treasury. It is not yours. Don't touch it. So they go, they defeat Jericho, and then they go to the second city. And when they go to the second city, it's a little town called Ai. And when they go in to defeat Ai, there's not even enough for them to take the whole military. They said, oh, they spied it out, and they said, oh, we're just going to send in 3,000. It's not that big of a deal. But then they go to attack it, and they end up losing 36 men. They get their tails kicked. So Joshua's going, what happened? What is going on? He gets down on his face, and he starts crying out to the Lord, and he says, oh, God, we're going to be looked at as failures. No, who's going to trust me to walk with me if we go get our tails kicked in this little tiny battle? And he's crying. He's crying about it. And God says, get up, son. Why are you crying? He says, there's a problem in the camp. Why? Because somebody had taken something from the first city and had hidden it in their tent. And that was why there was this problem. The Lord was serious about his word. He wanted them to change, find out what happened, fix it, and I'll give you the blessing as you move forward. But I think that statement, get up, stop crying about it, there's a problem in your camp. There's a reason you're having this problem. There are some questions we need to ask ourselves to address the problem thoughts that we have. The first one I just want to ask you, look, are your thoughts negative? Do you instantaneously go to negative thinking? Today in psychology, they call that catastrophizing. You see every single thing that could possibly go wrong out of this. And I know a couple, and it's like any problem that existed that the wife told the husband about, the husband would try to solve it. But no solving would be had because she would come up with a reason why that would not work. And I'm just going to tell you, as a man, how many know we have our Mr. Fix-It hats that we put on? We like to fix our lady's problem. Now, sometimes they're just talking to talk to let you know they don't need your help to fix it. You got to know the difference between that and when they want you to kill a bug, which is you must do this, right? And so in this scenario, I'm just like, why is this lady? She will not accept any solution to any problem. She catastrophized everything, and it was overwhelming to her husband. Her husband's like, what's the point in even trying, right? You can't allow every thought to be negative. There are solutions. You can find those things, but are your thoughts negative? Are your thoughts worldly? You make unfair comparisons. Sometimes, and we saw it on that little bumper, is that you can compare yourself to everyone in this world and you think they're living a better life than you because they put it on their social media account. But their social media account used filters. They filtered that. Heard one guy say, you wouldn't recognize that person in the grocery store because of how many filters are on that person. We like to put our best stuff on social media, but that's not really life. A couple things that bother me. We don't need to know everything you're eating on your social media. Like, look at my food. Just eat the food already. You don't have to. And the other thing is, I know it's. I see everybody do it. It just seems like it's everybody. But vacations. Do you know what the rest of us are thinking? Why am I not on vacation? How quickly can I go? It's natural to begin to compare. And so are your thoughts worldly thoughts? And are your thoughts critical? They call this mind reading today. And it's not literally, you know, like some crystal ball mind reading, but it's the idea that you are assuming you know what other people are thinking. Doesn't that drive you nuts? Has anybody ever told you, you're thinking this? And you're like, nah. I had this happen. I have this happen quite often. And I think it's my fault. But I'll have people tell me, Pastor Nathan, I know you're disappointed in me. And I go, what? You know, no, I know you are. I saw the way you were looking at me on Sunday. I'm glad you're laughing. Because I was just thinking, this is my face. It's just, I have a dumb look on my face when I'm thinking about nothing. Like, and just so you know, men can really think about nothing. Okay? And so I'll have people come up and they'll be like, yeah, can we get a time to meet and talk about this? And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. We do not need a meeting over this. I'm like, you took my stupid look on my face and turned it into Have you been walking around with that all week? Please don't do that. Just pray for my face. Don't do that. You start making assumptions. How many know the little proverb about assumptions? Okay, I'm not going to say it because you know it. And some people think, well, everybody's paying attention to me. I need to tell you this in love. No, we're not. We're not thinking about all of this. We could take our bad mentalities and drag them over into a good place. And you shouldn't do that. You need, like, I'll have people that tell me about all the negative things that happened in their past church. Well, how about we do this? Let's put it under the blood of Jesus and let's leave that there. I believe you've come into a good church. And I mean, it's just not perfect. We definitely know we've got problems. But come in with some good thoughts about what God's going to do today in this new season in your life. And I love this verse. This verse could guide you. I mean, Paul is writing from a prison epistle, or from a prison when he writes this verse. And I just want you to think about that. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now imagine changing every one of those words to the opposite of it. What would Paul be saying? Don't think about those things. How much of your life would change with just this mindset shift on one verse of Scripture? If you could insert truth and jettison the lie, you start to become what you think about. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, going back to where we started, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take it captive, every thought, to make it obedient to Christ. When you spend time in the Word of God, my friends, you naturally get the filter that all the world is going to begin pouring through. Because you're still going to watch movies, you're still going to hear the news, you're still going to see life events happen, tragedies, but the filter of the Word of God causes you to go, but that's not my portion. That's not going to destroy me. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper, right? You begin to get spitting mad at the lies, and you'll see the lies. Look, I'm not telling you that you're going to go out of this world. You're going to be in this world, but not of this world. You'll start to become more about what you're thinking about. You're going to take these thoughts. Whenever the agenda comes through the movie, you're going to stop it with your kids. I think it's the greatest invention next to the internal combustion engine is the ability to pause live TV and go, come on, kids, we're going to talk about that. That's a lie. We don't believe that. And you inspect your thoughts, then you have to dispute your thoughts. I can put a thought in your head, a sign as you're driving down the road. It's neon. It says, hot now. Right? And all of a sudden you smell something as you drive by. You smell a sugary glaze. Your mind immediately goes to, they have more than sugary glazes. They have cream-filled little pastries. They have jelly. It's so wonderful. It's warm. You all thought of donuts, right? If I said, oh, you know what? It comes on a 500 degree platter. You can cut it with a butter knife. You don't even need a different knife. It's got butter all across the top of it. Now, how many of you are thinking of Ruth's Chris Steakhouse right now? All of you that are vegetarians, you need to repent right now. Just think about put a thought in your head, and it naturally will get some traction in your head. But how many know that there are times when we're on diets, we need to dispute our thoughts. We're fasting from something. Let's get away from that thing. You have to say, I will not be anxious. I will not let that thought get traction in my life. Romans chapter 12, verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God's thoughts are better than your thoughts. How? Well, what do? You have to learn his thoughts. If 80,000 thoughts go through your head every day and 80% of those are negative, I got some good news for you. Do you know that there's 7,500 promises in the Bible towards you that are good? Let me give you some of those today just to bathe you in the Word of God. John chapter 8, verse 32, it says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us about God's thoughts over you. You think God's thoughts towards you are punishment and condemnation. I got news for you. He says, no, my thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil, and I'll give you a hope and a future. The enemy's going to come after your thoughts. He's going to tell you that you're not valuable, that you're not worthwhile, that you're not beautiful, that God made a mistake, that, you know, hopefully he doesn't say this to you, but he's saying it to so many in our generation. It's just so sad. This whole thing of transgenderism, that God made a mistake on your sex, you're living in the wrong body. Here's what the Lord really says, for you are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do things that he has planned for us long ago. I praise you. Psalm chapter 139, verse 14. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, God. I know that full well. God did not make a mistake on you. He doesn't make mistakes. I don't want you to think that if you deal with anxiety and all these thoughts attacking you, that somehow you're a sinner because those thoughts come near to you. They come near to us all. They come near. The Bible says that the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. And sometimes you might look at people that you think of as, man, that's like spiritual Yoda over there. Nothing ever happens to that person. They are beyond being attacked by any normal thing. I got news for you. The Bible doesn't say that anxiety is never going to come towards those that are walking in Christ Jesus. In fact, look at it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7 says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It's not that anxiety's not going to come. It's where do you take it when it comes? You got to stop catastrophizing. I love this verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What's it mean? Don't sit in your anxiety. Turn it into prayer motivated by the goodness of God already in your life. Something happens when gratefulness is your spirit. You live in gratefulness. A grateful person always sees themselves as blessed, even when the tough stuff comes. And prayer, I love the fact that the ladies are doing this garden of prayer. And by the way, there's only a couple more days to register, and I hope you registered. You can text women to 317-961-8330. Register, bring a friend, because prayer is where we come in contact with peace. Prayer is not, you don't just say, well, you just pray about it. Like as if prayer doesn't have great power. No, prayer is the power. And if you are saying, I'm not feeling very powerful, then I would call you to join me this Saturday here and pray with me. Let's pray together. Something happens when you come into a room and you pray, and there's lots of life groups that pray. You've got to get involved in learning the work of prayer. I met with a Nigerian man this past week. I might have said this last week. Did I say this last week? He said, you know, you Americans, you have no time. He said, since coming to this country, I notice you Americans, you have no time to pray. He said, in Nigeria, we don't have as many things going on. And so we pray 6 to 8 hours a night. I'm like, 6 to 8 hours a night? Holy cow. He says, you must do the work of prayer. Prayer is work. I'm thinking, yeah, that's true. It is work. It is something that you develop, but it's something you must do. And I was just thinking, wow, do you know how hard it is to call people to an hour of prayer a week? And that, I don't know if you know this, but God is massively moving in Africa. I wonder if it's because the church knows how to pray. And I met another Nigerian yesterday in an Uber, and he said, listen, one of the things that has massively affected us in order to prayer, to get to a life of prayer, he says it's actually poverty that motivates us to pray. Do you know what I would say? That's being poor in your spirit. What does that mean? It means knowing how much you need God. Do you need God? You'll pray. If God is for you, who could possibly be against you? I watched this reel, and it had all these mob bosses, and it was this Italian guy, and he was saying, look, if you were in New York at this period of time, you were in Chicago, and you were under the banner of these mob bosses, and he started listing out all these different mob bosses. He said, would you be afraid if you were under their protection? No. And he said, how much greater is God in heaven than mob bosses to protect you? How would you walk around with your head up high if you really thought about who you belong to? If you feel lonely, you feel isolated, we're going to talk about that later, but do you know that God takes the lonely and puts them into families? Talking about life groups. Welcome to Life Church. You are amongst hundreds of families in this church. We're going after God together. This is our desire to know him, to make him known. He puts us together. He brings us from where we are. That's why these life groups are so important. And this summer, with what you heard Denise talk about, we're going to have life groups on this subject matter. You can get signed up. Go see Denise. We want you to do that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away from him have been brought near by the blood of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 reminds us what? We are supposed to take all these thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads. Are your thoughts under the lordship of Jesus? Who are you carrying your thoughts to? If you take them to any other place than the feet of Jesus, they're not going to get better. We're to transform our thought life. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. What thoughts today in your mind need to be pulled down? What bunker buster needs to come to a stronghold or a compound near you? You got to cast them on the Lord. You say, what about my past? Maybe God won't really hear me because of my past. Oh, God's over your past. He put it under the blood of Jesus. You need to get past your past. But Pastor Nathan, my habits aren't good. Okay, we can develop new habits. We can submit that old broken habits are not what God wants for us today. We can develop new habits. We can have new pathways, neural pathways. We can tell ourselves new thoughts that the scripture says to replace those that the enemy has said and this world has said. And we can take our reliance. Is your reliance? Look, I'm not going to say that there's not a place for medication. Please don't hear that. I'm not condemning you if you're on a medication. We don't get mad at people if they're on a heart medication. Sometimes there's a chemical issue that needs to be addressed. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But I know that if your reliance is on something else other than Christ first and foremost, then things are out of balance. You have an opportunity today to come back. Come back to the one who created your mind. Have the will to submit yourself to the Lord and to truth. And realize that your emotions follow what you believe. You can't be partially submitted and fully transformed. You have to come into to the presence of Him who is peace. Cast your cares upon Jesus. Lay it down at His feet. Folks, to really get peace, you got to come to Him who is the Prince of Peace. He is Jehovah Shalom, God, our peace.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us, share with a friend, and hit subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you stream your podcasts. Our mission is simple. Come to life, connect to grow, find your purpose, make a difference. Thanks for listening to the Life Church Podcast.